And it's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us here on the Pomp and Joe Show with Austin City Limits Bechtold behind the glass. And you're feeling better because you were out a couple of days. That's unusual for you.
Yeah, I was out Wednesday. I was out Thursday. First time I've ever taken an official sick day here before. It was weird, but that's how much that this illness crushed me. And I basically just slept. For a
long
time.
Your body is telling you what to do, and you can't ignore your body. So
no, you can't.
It's good you did it. Good you're back. I want to remind you, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And before we get into more conversation about Aaron Rodgers, what he did, and some of the other stuff, so we have people on the line who've been waiting, so Austin, let's rattle them off, and then we'll get into some sound from yesterday after the game.
All right, let's go to Andrew, he's in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Hey, I wanted to say one thing real quick. I know the defense didn't look great yesterday at all and what we expect, but they did lead the league in pressures. And Highsmith also had, I think, himself 8 pressures.
Which yeah, he was good.
Promising because he hasn't looked great. The other thing I wanted to ask, I don't know if you guys have any updates. Do you guys know about the Deshaun Elliott injury?
No, we'll find out tomorrow, and thanks for the call. Mike Tomlin does his press conference tomorrow, so we'll be over there, and you'll hear it right here on The Fan, but that'll be one of the things. It did not look promising. He threw his hat down. He's been around. He knows, and his leg got absolutely twisted in that pile over there. I'm guessing it's going to be a couple of weeks, hopefully no more.
Yeah, it looks like his cleat got caught in the turf a little bit too, which we know we've seen a lot with turf and those type of fields and stuff like that can really screw up your knee. So ideally for Elliott, it's just a sprain or a knee bruise that occurred right in that moment that feels better a couple of days later. But we'll ultimately find out tomorrow. Here is Ryan in New Jersey.
Well, oh, Ryan's one of our favorites. What's going on? Yes, he does. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Bob, I told Limits I'm not going to get on Drew Aller, but whatever, so we'll let that one go. But I actually wanted to call a story that's going on in college football that's not really getting a lot of steam here. South Florida smashed Boise State, and then they beat Florida the other day. Mm-hmm. They play at Miami this week. I never trust Miami. So you could be looking at a team, and Navy will probably be ranked towards the end of the year when they play them. South Florida could be 4-0 against ranked teams and run the table and go into the college football playoff. I'm not saying they're going to beat Miami, but even if they lose to them, they're going to make the playoffs. That's kind of what's going on with that one. So that's just one of those Cinderella stories. They're fun to watch to keep an eye on as the season develops.
They're fun to watch, but I'm telling you, Miami is for real this year. I think they're going to be a legitimate.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust the quarterback that much, but the you never put it past Miami to lose 2 bad games. They're like Pitt. The only Pitt loses 5 bad games instead of 2. But, you know, whatever, it is what it is. So just keep an eye on the Bulls is what I'm saying. But my question was, if the Steelers now – so the Steelers got a guy who can throw. Now, they haven't had a quarterback who could really throw the ball since the elbow ligament snapped. You know, when was that, in 2018
yeah,
or whatever
a,
what
yeah,
it was?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. So they got a guy that can throw. I mean, he's 40, but whatever. That arm is like 21. I swear to God, I've never seen a guy that could flick the ball like him. But the so if they're all in, and I know the defense looked terrible and Broderick Jones, blah blah blah, all the negative downsides. They've got cap space here. They have draft capital. They really need to be actively in the trade market for once. I know there's not a lot of in-season trades, but they really need to look to make a trade or bring somebody in to shore up the weaknesses. And I got a question, especially because the guy just said about Elliott being hurt, and I don't know how bad that knee is. Why didn't they bring in Jabril Peppers like the minute he was cut, like when they brought Joe Hayden? And I don't understand that.
We had that question, the same thing when it happened, and I don't know the reason for it. I don't know because they've done that before. Well, now they especially do if this injury, which we find out about
definitely.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I would. They have the money. I would have him on the plane. You know, to be honest, I mean, because and not only that, he'll thump too. Which obviously, when you've got guys running through your smallish defensive line running downhill, you need somebody that's going to come up and thump.
Yeah.
That's why I miss the Landon Roberts. You know what I mean? Like, you need somebody who's willing to just smack them. You know, like they yeah, that run defense, I mean, Derrick Henry was, he looked like he was, you know, Secretariat for most of that game last night. And right, Buffalo has the same problems as the Steelers.
They do.
Defense.
Well, I'll tell you what, Buffalo and Baltimore's defense, too, got exposed a little bit last night. Thanks for the call, as always. You know, those teams will shore up. All of them will, and that includes the Steelers' defense. They're not going to be what they did yesterday. They're going to get better as time goes along. But if the offense can sustain points, and it all starts with Aaron Rodgers, right? We just talk about his performance with just four touchdowns, no picks, just a command of everything. And that was a pretty good defense he's going against. He knew who to pick on and who not to pick on. He got hit a few times, got back up and played more. So very encouraging. And I know, as we hear from him, Austin, that he was very, in a subtle way, throwing little jabs at New York. He didn't do it throughout the week. He knows better before the game. But after the game, he made his message very clear.
Oh, he was happy to win, Bob.
And you spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
That's pretty much how you have to do it. And he's smart enough to know how it goes around. You don't say it before the game. You say it after the game once you beat them. And that's what he did.
Yeah, you got to walk the walk before you can actually talk the talk sometimes. Especially in the position that Rodgers was in, like by them basically just dumping him over, we'll call it a text message where you show up for just a minute.
Well, I thought it was interesting. The New York Post this morning in the back page, and they always have the best headlines, has a picture of Aaron Rodgers smiling and says, "So, now he can play." So they miscalculated maybe. And again, it's a long season. We'll see how this moves forward. But what a tremendous start for the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin had to be happy about a lot of things, too. We heard from him after the game. Some of the key things he talked about mostly was his trust in Aaron Rodgers. And people were asking him about when did you know? He goes, "I watch it every day. I see it every day," which is one of the reasons why he didn't have to play or, you know, didn't play at all in the preseason, Austin. But Tomlin was very bullish on his quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically just saying that is what I saw on a consistent basis every single day at practice. Like, you guys wonder why I thought that I had so much why did I have so much confidence in this? That's why, like, because Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback.
I just thought he was game all day. But again, you guys asked me last week, why was I confident? That's why I was confident. That's what I've been looking at in preparation, and I'm appreciative of it, not only his efforts, but the efforts of the collective.
Yeah, and he should be. I mean, that's the kind of effort that he hasn't received, but it's largely been their doing also. They have not found a replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers for this year will be it, but beyond that, who knows? They still are in that search for a franchise quarterback, which leads us to Justin Fields. He was here. They let him go. He played very well. I think a lot of people still had doubts about his passing, at least for one game, and we saw this from time to time with the Bears. He had 2 4-touchdown games with the Bears, and in those games, he was real good. He also threw an interception in each of those games, but yesterday, he was good with the football. Was not careless with it, and he made some great throws when he had to Garrett Wilson.
Well, he did, and what was a little bit surprising to me is, don't you think the Steelers would have been a little bit more ready for Justin Fields, knowing that he was just in the building last year and you know how to approach him? You know,
defensively? Especially on that touchdown where you knew he could roll right or left, and depending on how he's going to go,
right.
they seemed like they didn't even expect that play.
No, I was surprised
by
that.
They had to expect it.
They had nobody. I think it was one of the safeties that were on the edges and basically just got completely sucked into the play and lost their eyes on Fields. He played very well. Like, I was impressed. I was very, very impressed with Fields and ultimately how he performed.
412-928-9370. The other story of the weekend was Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward had gone a long time because he apparently brought this up to the Steelers back in February where he's coming off a big season last year. He was an All-Pro. Contract didn't reflect that, but the contract was signed before he was an All-Pro and coming off a season where he had injuries and not as effective. And so he wanted a sweetener. Now the question becomes, would the Steelers give in to that or not? And their policy typically is not to do stuff like that, especially with a contract that has 2 years remaining on it, and that's what he got, a 3-year contract. And so he pushed as far as he can. I was under no belief that he was not going to play in that game. Regardless of the outcome of this, if he had not gotten even an incentive reach, I don't think he would have done it. I think he has too much respect for his teammates and his position. So he was going to play. But you know, Austin, he did not get what he wanted, which I think was some upfront money based on, you know, taken from next year, give it to me now. He got incentives that are only tied to playoffs, which are good because, you know, if you get there, you get it. But the problem is they haven't been there, and when they do, they don't last very long.
Yeah, they don't win. So this is, to me, was just kind of, Cam, this is what you're going to get. Take it or leave it. And he ultimately just decided, all right, if there's no other way that I can make any extra money, if this is the season that we believe it can be, then I can make it. So it's a good move for the Steelers. It's a good move in the public eye, too. Oh, well, they ultimately did give Cam Hayward the sweetener. They took care of him, whatever.
No, that's not true. They didn't. They gave him incentives. That's different.
They did. I know.
Sweeteners,
they, right? Pretty much.
Sweeteners are sweeteners, and that's money now. So, you know, I think that's a tough situation to be in. Again, looking back, I think probably 2020, looking back, Cam Hayward and his crew will say, we should have gotten a lot of this written in advance when we got the three-year contract. But at the time, he was not in a position of strength. They're coming off a season that wasn't as good as last year's. Now, he went out and he earned it. And I get what he's saying. I want to be paid the market. That's fine. But the contract says something different. So
this is what Hayward had to say after the game about the deal.
I don't really want to talk about it now. I think it's important to just keep the eyes on. You know, I'll answer that later. It's not anything special, but I just think we just want a big freaking game in, you know, against the New York Jets, new quarterback, new freaking weapons, new freaking players on our side of the ball. Big win. I can't really focus on anything else but that.
I think that was a proper answer, too. I don't think there's any reason to go into anything beyond that. This was a game day. He played. They won. There's a time and a place for that, and, you know, he'll address it at some point.
Can you imagine if they lost and they asked him that question, though? That would have been a lot more interesting, potentially, of a response. But, yeah, Cam, I think, made the right decision here. Just
especially
talk about it during the week.
If you lost in the run game, defense was a reason why, which it could have been because the Jets had their way. And that's the other thing that was really disappointing. That they knew going into this game that Breece Hall and Braylon Allen were going to be, plus Justin Fields. It's all run game first and foremost.
Everyone watching on TV knew that.
They knew it. They knew it, prepared for it, and they couldn't stop it. That's a little disconcerting.
Well, yeah, I mean, they ran the ball down their throat for a considerable amount of that game, especially the first three quarters. Like, the Jets' running attack did whatever it wanted with a first-time offensive coordinator against the highest-paid defense in all of football. Like, those first couple of drives, the Jets just, whatever they dialed up, those scripted plays, worked to perfection. And you just let the Steelers shaking their heads, wondering what's going on. I guess Evan Washburn said they had one of those uncomfortable conversations on the sideline that veteran teams, veteran defenses can do. Maybe that worked a little bit, Bob, but I don't know about you. I'm still a little bit concerned about the defense, like, especially the run game. They're going to get Derek Harmon back. That's good. But doesn't say much about some of the additions they made on that defensive line in terms of depth.
Yeah, Wyatt Black was in there, but I didn't notice him as much as I had in the preseason.
No.
But he's a guy I still have optimistic beliefs of. He came in as a fifth-round pick, and I thought he was almost unmovable over there. So I look at him at the nose and saying he could be one of those guys, like a Casey Hampton sort of player, where he's just taking up blockers. And that's also very effective. 412-928-9370. We have more callers on board.
Yeah, let's go to Travis. He's in Harrisburg.
Go ahead, Travis. You're on. What's up?
Great to hear from you, Bob. Thanks, City Limits. I've got a love sandwich here. So things that I love is that Omar and Mike T look pretty smart for the people that they brought in the offseason, paying immediate dividends. And I thought to myself yesterday, Jalen Ramsey in one half football gave us more splash plays than Minka seemingly did for almost two seasons. The middle of the sandwich is where I'm concerned, and it's in the trenches. And Bob, like, here's the thing that drives me crazy. You have this thing called training camp, and you've got your guys sequestered for basically about 7 weeks before things actually get serious. And what is Pat Meyer looking at that, oh, yeah, Broderick's going to be ready to play? And I get he had some good competition on the other side of the ball, but he just did not look prepared. And fundamentally, I'm leaning more towards bust than breakout. My final thing is, guys, things that, and this is the other part of the love, I love seeing some guys step up and I'm fully prepared to elevate Calvin Austin to wide receiver 2.3. He's almost there. What he did yesterday I thought was really awesome. I loved him getting in, getting the pass interference, making the plays, and it was just fun to, knowing what that guy went through in his rookie year. See him have that moment opening day. It was fantastic. You two are great. This show is so much better without Starkey. You have a great day.
No, it's not. Joe runs the ship, and we always want him here running the ship. But thank you for the call. You know, the thing about Broderick Jones, some people are already labeling bust. And again, I think it's a little too premature to do that, only because he's moved to a different position, which was an original one. I expected better results like everybody else. But I'm not going to give up at this point, because I look at their backup situation, and who are you going to put in there? You know, Andres Pete has been around. He's a former number one, but he wasn't wanted by anyone. I don't think he was even activated yesterday. Dylan Cook, they have others. I mean, those for a game or two may be good. They pretty much have to sink or swim with these two guys. So don't give up on them at this juncture. However, there is a lot, considering how good he reportedly was in the preseason, and he was. I mean, the games we did, now I know they're not going against the Jets all pros and as they were yesterday, but, you know, you got to give it some slack here. I'm not willing to go that far. Am I concerned? Yes. Are you concerned, Austin? There should be concern, but I'm not going to say bust at this point.
The boat is taking on some water here, Bob. The boat is taking on significant water. He allowed 3 sacks and 4 pressures, according to PFF.
More than any left tackle in the game. Absolutely.
That's bad. That is not good. Like, yes, my first initial impression this season of Broderick Jones is really bad. After it was not very good in the preseason, it improved game by game. Like, he looked better as each game went on, but still, what's the level of competition that you're facing, plus Jacksonville and Carolina is also thrown in there. So, yeah, I'm very concerned about that, because as good as we saw Aaron Rodgers, if he's, you know, on the ground half the game, we're not going to be able to see that level of production. Broderick Jones is going to get him hurt.
And all it takes is one play to get. And he got hit hard yesterday. I thought the one was really going to be. He got sandwiched high and low.
Yeah.
And that was a tough one to watch anyone take, especially a 41-year-old. But he got up. He kept playing. And I think he was highly motivated, because it was the Jets going into that stadium. And given the way that Aaron Glenn dismissed him. Although, that whole thing, there's one of two ways you can do that. Both ways could have been critical if you're the quarterback. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you get a call or a text saying it, you'll be mad that they didn't do it face-to-face. But by bringing him in all the way across country, sitting him down and basically say, we don't want you anymore, is a wasted trip.
Yeah,
it's highly disrespectful, I think, for a guy like that.
I would much rather experience that breakup over text than have to fly across the country.
But then even that would have been looked at, oh, you don't even face him. They should have brought him in, had a big, long discussion with him, taken him out and say, this is what we're doing. We appreciate whatever, just a little bit more than. And that was clearly in the back of his mind and clearly used as motivation in this game, even though he didn't reveal it until after the game at 412-928-9370. Who we got next?
All right, let's go to Ron. He's in Bethel Park.
What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. Let's take off the rose-colored glasses for a second and set the facts. The facts are offensive line, defensive line got beat up bad. And if it wasn't for special teams, they don't win this game.
That's true, but they also scored 34 points. And in, you know, the first week, we haven't seen that in quite some time. In fact, I don't know the last time they scored over 30. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember many off the top of my head. Maybe in that Cincinnati game last year when it went back and forth. That'd be the only example, right, of that game.
Yeah, but let's look. They played the Jets. And to compare what Baltimore did, Baltimore's going against a Super Bowl contender. The Jets aren't a Super Bowl contender.
I understand that, but they have some pretty good players on their defensive side of the ball, and that posed problems for the Steelers' O-line, specifically Broderick Jones. All I'm saying is it's week one. They won a game, and I think for at least one day you should focus on that and say they got some offense. There's a lot to work on. Every one of these teams, you don't think Baltimore or Buffalo can say our defense stunk at critical points? Specifically, Baltimore. They fell apart late in the game. They made some terrible decisions. And they've had this problem over the years, right? I mean, they lose games where you expect. They went to Buffalo last year and had that game won, dominated, and then had, you know, Mark Andrews drops a 2-point conversion, other mistakes they make, and they made mistakes last night.
Yeah, but like you said, there's so many holes in this boat. I'm more concerned than I am optimistic. Rodgers cannot go to another game, get hit 7 times, get sacked 4 times at a 41-year-old body.
I agree with that. I think we all do. But I think at this point, we have one game to go on, and I got to believe it's got to get better. It better get better. If it doesn't, they're in a bad situation there at tackle.
That'd be a very bad situation to tackle. Because, I mean, think about it this way, Bob. Like, I thought Fautanu played good enough, but how good is he? How good is Isaac Seumalo? I don't know. He's been banged up significantly throughout his Steeler career. How much is he trying to help Broderick Jones? I wonder about the overall composition of this line. Like, Zach Frazier, we know, is good. Did he have that great of a day yesterday either?
Well, the run game indicates they didn't have a good day. They couldn't open up enough holes, and the backs couldn't get to those holes. So, you know, the bottom line is they need to improve. There's no question about it. And it starts with a game at home against Seattle. That's a good recipe for getting things back in order, because Seattle struggled yesterday in a lot of different ways. And if you look at their performance, they should have beaten San Francisco, because San Francisco wasn't all that effective either. I looked at the numbers for Brock Purdy, although high completion percentage, which was, I think, 20 of 22, he did what he had to do. But at the same time, Seattle at home managed 13 points against a defense that had some injuries. Sam Darnold passed for, I think, less than 150 yards. He wasn't all that good.
Yeah, Sammy was not very good. Purdy wasn't really that good in that game either. I mean, he had a couple of bad picks.
The numbers are a little misleading there. Yeah, he did.
A little bit.
Seattle running game, 50 yards. So they have problems there. The Steelers should have a situation on their hand. Other than Jackson Smith and Jigba, they had nobody else catching the ball. I think Sam Darnold has a way of looking. He looked really good in Minnesota, got a contract because of it. This is a different system out there, and I'm not sure if he's going to be the same quarterback. And Pittsburgh should tee off on him, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That was the best situation for Sam Darnold to be in, Minnesota. I'm curious tonight to see what ultimately J.J. McCarthy looks against that defense of Chicago as well and that matchup against the Bears. But yeah, Sam Darnold, I like Darnold, but here's my thing about Darnold. I like him. I think he's got good ability, but he's got to be in the right system. He's got to be in the right fit. He's not somebody that overcomes a significant amount of things like an Allen, Mahomes, those types of guys.
Well, people say that about Purdy, too. And his success is tied to the system and the philosophy.
It is. It is. And that's why, like, I want to see more from Darnold, what this system is like at Seattle. I think right now he's just an okay quarterback in that system.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's early in the season. A lot of things. Welcome back on this beautiful Monday. Bob Pompeiani here with Austin Bechtel. Joe had to leave early. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. And we continue to break down the NFL. It is a reaction Monday. We've got a lot of reaction so far about the Steelers. Some people still not satisfied with everything, but that's what it is. They won a game. They did. It was an exciting game. One of the best we've seen as an opener in quite some time, I'll have to say that.
I mean, it was the best game of the opener until last night's Buffalo-Baltimore game went the way it did. That was trending to be a blowout at one point.
And I think people in Buffalo left. There were people who left the scene. And if you did, you missed one of the more miraculous. They've had some good endings there. The Oilers and the Buffalo Bills in that 35-3 game that turned out to be the Frank Reich. I mean, you never know in sports what you're going to get. And if you leave early, you could risk watching something that you may never see again.
Yeah, you can't leave a game early unless it's, you know, a 10-1 baseball game or a 28-0 game. You might end up with the Brian Giles type of game.
That's what I mean.
You never know.
I mean, that was one of those Lanny Fratteri moments where they called that all the way back. They were down how many? 8 runs? In the bottom of the ninth?
I think it was 6 in the ninth.
Whatever.
With two outs,
nobody on base.
Yes.
And then at that point, you're probably in the parking lot. You're thinking it's over. And then you go in your car and you're listening to the rest of it. And you say, oh, no, I shouldn't have left. So let's go around the league. All right, Austin, we have a lot of games to talk about. We'll begin with the one last night since you brought it up. Man, 41-40, Bills come away with a win. They scored 16 points in the last 4 minutes. At one point of the fourth quarter, they were 99.1 win probability. Was Baltimore. They had a 0.9 win probability to Buffalo, and then everything imploded on the Ravens. First of all, classic game, one of the best I think I've ever watched. I don't know if we'll see another one like it. Could be the game of the year in week one. What's your big takeaway about this game?
These are the two big dogs of the NFL, and we knew it, or at least for the AFC. Like, sure, Baltimore ultimately lost the game, and their defense looked very sluggish late in that game. Derrick Henry fumbles, mistakes cost Baltimore. The Ravens' inability to close out some games is kind of an oddity to me. And that's why I can never pick them to win the Super Bowl. But these are just two Hollywood elites that went at it, just trading blow for blow. We know how good both offenses are. We know how good both quarterbacks are. Sometimes you just put it all out there, sit back and watch. And that was my main takeaway from this game. Just good entertainment.
Never would have thought once Baltimore got the ball back in the fourth quarter and Derrick Henry gets a carry, and he had 18 of those for 169 yards, two touchdowns, was just dominating as he's done in the past against the Bills, and then he fumbles, of all things. And they immediately cashed in on that. But there were more throws that Josh Allen made. He was terrific in that five-minute window where he picked up like almost 200 yards passing in that time when they scored those 16 points. It was incredible.
But again, Baltimore still got the ball back.
And they couldn't move the ball.
They didn't move it at all. It was, what, third and nine where they weren't able to convert?
Right. And, you know, they had moved it all night. I don't know if they got a little conservative there or what, but the bottom line was once Josh – you don't want to give Josh Allen the ball or any of these guys who are elite the ball with time left. We saw, to me, one of the more overlooked plays in this game, as I told you earlier, was the 3 points they got right before halftime because Baltimore was on their way to the locker room. They made a completion. It looked like the guy was out of bounds, like time had expired. They put 1 second on the clock. That gave Prater a chance to hit a field goal. He did. Without those 3 points, they don't win either.
No, they had like probably 0.3 if we're looking at like a basketball clock and,
yeah,
you know, tenths of a second. That's all it was left. But, Bob, I wonder this. Like with the Ravens, I think they think too much in some of those moments in the fourth quarter when they're up by 10 points and all the other teams starting to come back. They try to get too cute. It seems like they just lose themselves.
And John Harbaugh is the guy in charge of that program late in the game. He has to, you know, they have to go out and execute, but he has to put them, I think, in a better position. I thought they got too conservative. I did. I thought they played, okay, we have a lead. That's just not – sometimes you got elite talent. You got to put it away by, you know, Lamar Jackson on a first down once they got the ball back. I think this is after the first touchdown they scored. They were still – Buffalo was still down. Everyone was looking for Henry to get it. He got it for a gain of like 15 yards. And you're thinking at that point, that's it. There's no way they're going to stop him. He stayed in bounds. He kept the clock running. And then the turnover happens after that. All right, let's move along to the other AFC North game. And this was a dud, but the Bengals somehow survived. And Cleveland had every opportunity to win this game. 17-16, Cincinnati wins to get to 1-0, which is not the way they've opened up the season before. But thank goodness for them, they played the Browns, who missed an extra point and a field goal in this game. And if you look at the strict numbers here, this offense of Cincinnati, which is handsomely paid, did nothing. As Joe Burrow was 14 of 23, only for 113 yards, that's it. T. Higgins had 33 yards. Jamar Chase, just two catches. If you gave those numbers to me ahead of the game, I would have said they would have lost.
They would have
somehow
lost.
Somehow they won.
Bob, this game to me is that guy in the old Progressive or Geico commercial with the fishing pole, the dollar on the fishing pole. You almost had it. You have to be quicker than that. That's what it was with the Browns, because I'm going to be doing this for all 17 games this year, just hoping that the Browns win games that they shouldn't, so that their draft position is so much worse than it should be. And this is one of those games, Bob, where they had a golden opportunity week one early in the season. They're feeling good to be able to win a game. They luck into 5 or 6 wins this year. And then, they don't get the number one pick in the draft.
Browns is the Browns.
And the Browns is the Browns. But
they're going to be drafting another quarterback next year. This quarterback thing, think if they had kept Baker Mayfield, which is where I'm going to go next, because I'm bullish on Baker. I thought Baker Mayfield was my preseason pick to win MVP of this league. And yesterday he didn't disappoint on the road at Atlanta. He had 3 touchdown passes. He wasn't as sharp early in the game, but they won, and they beat an Atlanta team that I'm not sure what Atlanta's doing. You know, they gave all that money to Kirk Cousins, and Michael Penix Jr. is their starter. He deserves to be their starter. They drafted him, and he did okay. He had 1 touchdown. But Baker Mayfield, when he had to, and when everyone's healthy on that team, you know, Emeka Ebuka is going to be a real big part of it, and he was yesterday.
He had 2 touchdowns. Ebuka looks really good. I wondered how he was going to be able to fit in when you have Mike Evans, you have Godwin. Seems like Ebuka was their guy, and he could be their guy for the next 10-plus years. He has that elite talent. Raheem Morris is a smart coach for Atlanta, but, I mean, Atlanta, don't you feel like they're just a team stuck in purgatory? Like they're not moving anywhere?
No matter who's in charge, no matter who, you know.
They're stagnant.
But again, it was a critical move. They gave a ton of money to Cousins, and they had to know, you know, he was getting up there in age, which is one of the reservations the Steelers fans had with Aaron Rodgers. He's up there in age. What can he do? But clearly, Aaron Rodgers can still wing it And Kirk Cousins can't get out of his own way down there. And
he can't even get on the field.
No, and that's the problem. All right, this is my team to win their division, the Indianapolis Colts. I picked them to win the division this year because I don't think the Texans are going to be that good. I think they're going to go backwards. They looked good yesterday. They beat a bad Miami team, but 33-8 was that final score. And I always liked Daniel Jones. I thought he needs to be in a better system. I think Shane Steichen's a good offensive mind. And yesterday he was 22 of 29, 272, a touchdown, where Tua has gone in a totally different direction there. Two more interceptions. I don't know what they're going to do. I think Mike McDaniel's on thin ice right now, do you? Because if they don't get better results than this, Tyreek Hill, 4 catches, that's it. Jalen Waddle, 4. They didn't even go over 30 yards each.
Yeah, I remember the whole tank for Tua thing. Well, now Tua is tanking you. Miami is not good. McDaniel is going to get rung at some point this year. Probably fired and... I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like within week two, week three, week four.
They're
not going to do
it
that early.
I think he'll be the first midseason or some season firing.
I think it will be during the season, yes. Like,
just
you
because,
get embarrassed
just because
by the Colts?
You're with, Kyle Shanahan and you have, that tree. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful with it. Look at the Bill Belichick guys who've left all over the place. A lot of them haven't been successful as head coaches.
No,
you may get the chance.
Here.
Yeah,
Patricia.
But Matt Patricia's a guy, and so is Josh McDaniels. Both those guys came from that tree, but they're just not cut out to be head coaches.
Joe Judge, remember him with the Giants?
Joe Judge, and I remember, and that brings us to this guy, Mike McDaniels. He came in with his, I'm going to be something different. I'm sort of a nerdy coach. I know all about the metrics. This is going to be great. And it started fine, but now the reality sets in, and they stink. And the Steelers have them on their schedule, which is good news for them.
That'll be fun.
All right, the Raiders, another team that I think will make the playoffs. I'm not.
Wow,
I am not
Bob.
In a big demand here with this pick, but I like the Raiders. Geno Smith, again, 72% completion percentage. He had to make plays. New England at home, I thought would be better than this, but the Raiders win 20-13. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that the Patriots were going to win this game. I have the Patriots, or at least I did, beating the Steelers in Week 3 in New England with that horn going off every third down in Foxborough.
I mean, that could happen because there are going to be upsets along
the
way.
But
and Drake May was not terribly bad. He had one touchdown, one pick, 30 of 46. But Geno Smith, 362, 24 of 30, and like I said, 24 of 34. And Genty looked like a first-year player in his first game.
I'm surprised Drake May wasn't better, though. Like, that's what was a little bit surprising to me. Yeah. Like, I had high expectations for him coming into the season. Especially the
Brock Bowers,
weapons.
That's the guy you're on one of your fantasy teams? You have him?
I wish I have him.
Okay, 5 catches, 103 yards, so he continues to do what he does.
He's a stud.
Yeah, Raiders are going to be good. I don't think they're going to be dynamic, but they're going to be good enough in that division, which is a very tough division. All right, Cardinals and Saints. Joe is very high on the Cardinals for what they have over there. James Conner continues to do what he does. They beat the Saints, which are terrible, and they're going to probably be the number one pick again this year. Kyler Murray, 2 touchdown passes. All I can say about James Conner is that he knows how to make plays at critical times, and he made a couple of third down conversions in that game. He also has a nose for the end zone, and the Steelers had him here once. I mean, looking back, that could have been a guy you could have kept here.
It could have
been.
But
there were injuries, I know that, and it made it harder for them to make that choice.
Right. He was injured, and there were times when he also wasn't very effective. So, I understand the reasoning as to why they parted with him. Sometimes the grass for some people is greener on the other side, and maybe James Conner just needed to get out of the city. Maybe he needed to change his scenery to be able to reset his NFL career because he's done a really good job for himself in Arizona. Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr.
There you go.
It looks pretty good. I expected Marvin Harrison to be better last year than what he ultimately was. This is the start of a very big breakout for him.
Washington Commanders destroy the New York Giants. And that means Joe Starkey is closer to getting his vision of having Jackson Dart be their quarterback because Brian Daboll, after this game, where they only scored 6 points and Russell Wilson didn't do much, pretty much non-committal about who his quarterback will be. Wilson goes 17 of 37 for 168 yards. Sacked twice, and they didn't do anything. And, Washington with Jaden Daniels did a pretty good job over there, so they win easily 21-6. The Giants are in disarray. It's hard for me to imagine a big city like New York over all these years with both the Giants and Jets, and yet none of them is able to put together any sort of dominance in their divisions.
Broncos country.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Well, he's riding his way right to the bench, isn't he?
It's very possible he is. Like, that's kind of the magic of the NFL, though, Bob. Like, you can be the Giants and Jets in the big market city, or you could be the Miami Dolphins in the big market, or the Bears. does not mean that you're going to be good. And that's why there's so much parity, and it's about drafting. It's about developing. Who has done the worst of anybody in the last 10 years of drafting and developing? The Giants and the Jets are two teams that are right up there at the top.
Despite many high picks, they just can't get it right.
This game was close for a while. It was 14-6 for a good bit. A little surprised that Jaden Daniels didn't come out and just throttle the Giants. Like, they have a good defensive front, but it's, again, that week one rust that you're shaking off, not playing much in the preseason.
If you were a player of survivor football, if you wanted one pick, my advice to people would have been, and I said this on Saturday, was Jaguars at home against the Panthers. The Panthers are terrible.
I picked the Steelers, Bob, in my survivor poll.
Well,
I wasn't feeling good about it.
But now you can't pick them again either. I always look at this as kind of strategic. You know, you have to pick a team that you think could win, but you don't want to rely on them later in the year. Jacksonville was one of those teams. I'm not sold on what Carolina has done down there, and I think they're going to struggle. Plus, I also thought with Liam Colm as their head coach, at Trevor Lawrence would be better. And he was good yesterday, not great. But they ran the ball. One of their big objectives, we did their game down there with the Steelers, and they said they wanted to force this run issue, which was not very good last year. Travis Etienne, 16 carries, 143 yards.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, Etienne went healthy because he's been banged up in the past. Is a good, effective running back, good chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. What about Bryce Young, though, Bob? Like, did he show anything to you? He didn't really show much to me because this was supposed to be the start of breakout year Bryce Young. He ended last year very strong. Bryce Young was 18 of 35 for a touchdown and two picks.
Yeah, not good. And again, that Carolina, they have nothing really to center themselves on this offense. He needs a lot of help, and they're not getting it. All right, the Broncos. Let's ride in the Broncos. And Bo Nix is one of his guys, too. He did not have a good first game, and that's one of the reasons why the Titans were in this for a long period of time. Broncos end up winning 20-12. I think the Broncos' defense is really good, and they're going to make life tough on every quarterback. And they did yesterday with Cam Ward. But very inauspicious beginning for them because I thought they would have their way with Tennessee.
Bo Nix was 25 of 40 for 176 yards, a touchdown, and two picks.
Two picks, too.
Yikes.
He started slow last year, too. So
yeah, he started slow in the past. That was definitely a slow start. Titans, Cam Ward showed some flashes, but ultimately not great.
All right, how about the 49ers Seahawks? They're coming here. Seattle makes the trip. We talked about them earlier. They have not much offense at all. They struggled all day running the football. 49ers weren't great either, but they had 10 fourth quarter points. They were losing this game, and Seattle could not close the deal.
Purdy made plays when he needed to in big moments, and Seattle, they got to figure out that running game.